Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinna.
It's another week, another amazing guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Oh my goodness. Episode 100 live event was amazing. So much value. Each guest broke down just various ways on how they turned their passion into dollars. And I mean, I'm just so thankful, so grateful for each guest, so grateful for each person that came on and joined. Like, it was just an amazing experience. Yes, I was beat after just streaming live for 9 hours. It was crazy, but it was well worth it. You guys are in for a treat. Truly a treat. So get ready for an amazing experience on how each guest turned their passion into dollars.
Here we go. Boom.
Daryl.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, man.
That's what's up. Good. I'm glad we're able to do this. All right, let's jump into it. Colin Tierney, who is this bearded guy?
Okay, my name is Colin Tierney. I run Tierney Studio. It's a small branding boutique. My wife helps me out. I have 3 little gremlins, aka kids. 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 10-month-old. Mm. But I know you can relate to that
too. Yes, indeed.
So it's pretty crazy. I live in Maryland, and my studio is in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And that's where I'm at right now.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm also, I run the account Crayligraphy, and that's all about calligraphy with markers. And the whole premise behind Crayligraphy is, if you're interested in the art, why not go about it the cheapest way possible and easiest and, most accessible. So, you know, you can go into, in my case, my kid's little art box and raid their markers. You can go to the grocery store and get them. And obviously it's cheap, so you don't have to go and spend an arm and a leg wondering whether or not you even like it. Right. So, that's me in a nutshell.
All right. I love it. So what are some of the ways that Colin Tierney generates revenue right now?
I'd say probably an order client work, teaching through workshops. And lastly, products, which I'm not too heavily invested in right now, but I definitely like the product game when I do have the time for that. I like the whole branding experience, you know.
Right.
I make sure when my customers open up, in this case, a Tierney Studio package, it's all about the experience, and I'm really into that.
You know, who kind of really, I don't know if it was the same thing for you, but who really brought me to a different mind when it came to stuff like that was Johnny Cupcake.
Oh yeah, I've heard some great things about that. When you want to talk about experience, apparently you walk into one of his shops and it smells like freshly baked cupcakes.
Yeah, over the years, people have literally walked in there, thought it was a bakery. But like just the whole packaging and all of that. So when you talked about that, I feel like just being able to put that together, it's a great feeling as you, to put the creator, to put out.
Correct. Yeah. It stretches you thin though. I mean, there's reasons for Cotton Bureau and all those t-shirt companies. A lot of people go that route because it's easier. And nowadays with my schedule, you know, prioritizing family and work, client work, especially in teaching, I could foresee myself going in that direction as well.
Right.
It's a much, much easier way to do things. Yes, it's not the entire branding experience, but it makes sense probably for me nowadays, even though I truly do love creating it all from scratch
and, right,
you know, delivering it to the customer and all.
The inventory is a beast, man. That thing will.
Yeah, that's I so I'm really into drinkware. I like using custom lettering and putting it on like mugs or tumbler whiskey glasses and stuff like that. So when I do it, it's I'm also doing those handmade. So I'm not ordering the mugs or glasses with the lettering already printed on it. I'm actually printing on it myself using what is it called? Not the I always get it mixed up. It's like the Cricut. Is that what it's called?
I have no idea what it's called.
Right? I don't know either, but
that's cool. So you have like the little machine. I've seen it. So you have that?
Yeah, and you create this like negative on vinyl.
Oh.
And then I'm like mixing my own inks and everything. It's very toxic, so I got to make sure I do it outside.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you mix your inks and you paint it on to the negative. You bake it at like a certain temperature and for a specific time. Yeah, but it works well. And I do enjoy it. But my point, going back to my original point, is I make very limited runs. So I don't have the inventory just laying around in my garage, you know. And so they sell out quicker, which is a good. It's a good feeling knowing that, okay, I sold out of this limited run of 30 something instead of like ordering 300 and having, you know,
inventory.
Yeah.
The dreaded inventory.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm sure you have experience with that as well.
Yeah.
Merchandise.
I've in and out of merchandise, Like I really went heavy in it in 2007 through 2009. Like I was focused. I turned off everything else, client work, everything. I went full force. But inventory was driving me and my wife crazy.
Mm-hmm. Veronica just chimed in. Veronica Letters. She said I either have a Cricut or a Cameo. I'm pretty sure I have a Cameo.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
They're essentially the same thing. I think Cricut's like higher end.
Got it. So let's jump into. I really want to tap into these workshops because I feel like we all have this thing that we are very good at and we could teach someone, but we don't necessarily want to create like an online course, which can be super daunting. But you can meet with a group of people at a specific time and teach. Let's talk about workshops.
Oh, the art of workshops, man. I'm still learning how to do it. I got into it really last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of requests after I had launched Cratelegraphy to have in-person workshops. And at the time I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it when I do. But I never really made it a priority. Brooke of Good Type asked me to host a workshop, you know, and they would co-host it. And I was like, yeah,
let's do it.
My first workshop experience was, I want to say 2015 or 16, around the time Cratelegraphy launched, I was headed to Crata South, and Ian Barnyard is what I like to call him. My friend over the pond, he, out of nowhere, it was like 2 weeks, maybe a week before the conference. He goes, hey, mate, do you want to just create this workshop real quick and just, you know, bang something out? I was like, well, I mean, we don't even have a structured outline. I just started Cratelegraphy. I'm still learning to teach. Sure, why not? You know, let's do it. Yeah. So that was both of our first workshop experiences. No online. He did one with Bob Ewing the year before at Creative South. And hindsight, it was probably a mess, but we, I think, sold about 4 or 5 tickets on paper. So we were like, oh, great. You know, this will be, because we were late to the game. We asked Mike.
Right.
Yeah, who runs the conference. And he thought it was a great idea. But we were looking at the sales and we're like, should we still do this? And he's like, yeah, just do it. I'm sure people will show up. Well, sure enough, they showed up. I mean, it was like packed house, 30 people, and we were not prepared.
I heard about this.
Yeah, we had to go and get like extra work guides printed. You can tell when I'm a little, when I'm in shambles a little bit and I'm not really prepared. I wear it on the sleeve pretty well. So Ian was fine. He was relaxed. But I was not prepared. He was not prepared. But we made it happen. You know, we went into it knowing that we do know what we're doing. You know, we are professionals in the lettering game.
Right.
So at the very least, we can at least, you know, tell people how we do things. Right. And in this case, it was calligraphy. So that was my first experience. And then the good type one was last February. That went much better, much more structured. I had more knowledge about how to teach. I've written several blog posts on the subject matter. So that went much better. I'm still learning process.
Right.
And in that case, you know, I was paid to do it through Good Type. So I didn't have to take care of any of the overhead. But it was something I really enjoyed. So I decided with my wife, let's start doing these, you know, why not?
Cool.
We've soon found out, you know, really quickly how difficult it was to put everything together. Just contacting venues, obviously the transportation alone, getting out there. You want to make sure your overhead's not too high so that you do come back with something. So for, I'd say the first several workshops, it was all, and to this day, we're still learning. But it was all a learning experience. And, you know, there were some workshops, I think I counted, I did like 12 last year. Some of them were paid, most of them were paid. Some of them were, you know, pro bono, especially for the, I went into an elementary school and did one, which is a totally different setup and environment, clearly. But it was really fascinating to see how I didn't have to change the criteria or like the curriculum too much, because I dumbed down calligraphy so much that anyone can pick up a marker and start learning. Yeah. Yeah, but there were some workshops that I came home with nothing, you know, but I knew like this is all part of it. I was investing my time, my money in trying to get the word out and trying to make this work. It wasn't until like 3 or 4 workshops in last year that I was thinking, why not bring someone along with me while doing these, you know, reach out to the local artist within the city that I was going to, who has shown some a skill set with calligraphy, and B, most importantly, interest. So the first person I worked with was Terrence in Houston. And I brought him on board. He had no workshop experience. I told him, you know, that's okay. Let me help you. You know, you be by my side. You can kind of train next to me. And to this day, that was one of the smoothest workshops that I can remember. Anytime that you can have more than one person in an in-person workshop, it is so valuable for everyone involved, the attendees, especially the instructors.
Okay.
And everything was brain related. So I'm a big fan of puns and stupid jokes. So what I call them is educators. The whole neologism between calligraphy and an educator combined. So I would go around and find potential educators who had interest, and You know, my next workshop was in Denver, and I brought on Veronica, who was recently chimed in. And I'm actually bringing her on as a partner now because she's amazing, and she knows how to get stuff done. So we work well with each other, and I found that out. Oh, there she is. Hi, Veronica. I found that out immediately. I was like, I need this girl with me. She's everything I'm not. So together. Superpower.
I love it.
Vibrant. Yeah, she's she says it how it is. You know, she was perfect for it. Yeah, so throughout this whole journey of training these educators, I wanted to create a plan where I didn't have to go and travel to every city where I was being requested to come to. Mm. So now I could call upon Terrence in Texas, you know, say there was an Austin workshop. Hey, Terrence, there's an Austin workshop. There's interest in Austin. How would you feel about going there and teaching a workshop? They wouldn't have to deal with any of the planning, which is the most headache for workshops. And they would just show up, do their thing. They were trained and they know the material, they have the outline, and they're ready to go. So that's where I'm at now, still training people. They have we're having regional educators, but it allows me to focus more on the material and potentially doing online workshops, even though I know the in-person workshops are so much more valuable. But it, more importantly, it allows me to be with my family, you know, and not have to be away from them traveling all the time. As much as I love traveling, let's be honest, I get in on Friday late nights, right, to the city that I'm going to, wake up early, like a lost puppy in a city. I have no idea where I am. And head to the venue, Uber it over with my huge suitcase, all my luggage, because right after the workshop, I'm headed right back to the airport.
To go home.
So there's no time to really enjoy the city. It's get in and get out, you know? And then I don't get home till 3 or 4 in the morning on, you know, early Sunday. So a lot that goes into them. Still learning how to do it, but I think we're getting there.
You see, and what I really like is that, and this is one thing that's been reoccurring through all the interviews, kind of everyone is going to hear all this information, and I feel like you still got to tailor it to your life and what you're trying to do. And just by knowing you, and even when you introduced yourself, after you said what you did, the next thing was, I'm a husband and I have these kids. So it's that's a pretty high priority on your list of things that's important in your life. So everything that you do is going to, cater to that.
Absolutely. They're a part of it. You know, they're the priority. The job, the work is all second to them. And like I said, my wife is, she's committed too. She's able to stay at home and watch the kids and raise them. But when they go down for nap every day, she's helping out. She's planning the events, structuring it, reaching out. As we speak, she's working on 20 minutes of cray.
Hey, and I might add, she's been killing it. Her growth from when she first started till now, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah. I should probably backtrack a little bit and explain what that is. 20 minutes of cray is obviously another pun on 20 minutes a day. And I tell all of my students that that is all it takes to find some significant progress, even within just 1 month. And a lot of times you find the attendees or students that I teach, they'll take the material, they'll sign up for the workshops or read the blogs online, and they expect to be pros immediately. And I just want to remind them that that's not how it works. You got to put in the time now. You have the tools. Now you got to put in the work. So to prove our theory on all it takes is 20 minutes a day, my wife, who has no background in lettering or calligraphy, just sees what I do, sees the mess in my office, all the paper.
Your office too?
Yeah, yeah. Thank God for the iPad, because for client work, I'm still hands-on when it comes to, calligraphy and all that, but, client work, iPad is a godsend. So we decided to use her as our guinea pig to prove our theory, and she started in November, and she started the account at 20 minutes of credit, and within 1 month, it was truly unbelievable. The amount that she progressed in that time, you probably saw it too.
I am a witness. She.
And then a lot of people were like, Okay, but she has you by her side. You know, the guy that came up with this. And, well, first of all, I did not come up with marker calligraphy. I just came up with crayligraphy. Let's.
Right. the inventor of the marker cray.
Yeah, no. So, the rule was I wasn't able to help her one bit. I didn't even talk to her about it.
I didn't even know about that part.
No, I really wanted to make it like the everyday person at home, you know, who doesn't have someone experienced next to them helping them out, holding their hand, you know. And I probably would not be holding her hand. I'd probably be like yelling at her.
Not like that.
Yeah. And she enjoyed it. And she did it for more than 20 minutes, and she kept it up through the new year and got really good and almost good enough to where we were like, okay, let's sit down and think about this. Where do we want to take this? Because people who are coming to the account now are just going to see like pretty good lettering and calligraphy, not like a whole story where it started, you know, your junk that you were posting from the very beginning, which you had to do, you know? So we sat and talked about it, and she started posting like pictures of our kids, and it just wasn't aligning with the original idea of it all. So we decided to take her and move her to her own account. Mm-hmm. And it's at Right Hand Mama, WRITE, Right Hand Mama, so that she can do her own thing. And we brought on Andrew Lay
as awesome, dude.
The next crayligrapher to take over the account. So my idea was to create this account where we can continuously see a journey, everyone's journey for 1 month. And then when they were done, they would pass the baton to the next interested crayligrapher. And today is actually the first. So we have a new account holder. She's got the keys of the account. Her name is Lauren Gray. Okay. And for each month they're going to create their own challenge, and every week they'll post that week's 7-day prompts, and you know, it goes from there. So it'll just be a continuous feed of inspiring journeys of different people, and that was the goal behind it.
Oh, that's cool, and that's kind of a way to kind of also bring awareness to the whole crayligraphy movement.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
So kind of to give everybody some kind of context, all of this, I know everyone may not be doing crayligraphy, or everyone may not even be a designer, but at the end of the day, like what Colin is doing, he's building a whole community, a whole, I want to say, what's the word I'm looking for? Like everything is surrounding, leading back to.
It's a platform.
Yeah, a whole platform. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. A whole platform around crayligraphy. And it all started with, in the early days, with just taking his kids' markers and using his calligraphy skills to create this whole new way of doing calligraphy.
Yeah. And, you know? And I should also mention that That's actually not where it began. It began even further back, over 10 years ago, when Tumblr was the platform.
Was the go-to.
Yeah, the old Instagram. I started a blog called In a Brush. Mm. So it was like a play on In a Rush. I'm not going to do curated stuff like I do on Dribbble. At the time, other platforms. I was just gonna, you know, I wanted to try my hand at calligraphy, so I wanted to create another journey into that aspect of my life of learning from scratch. So after about a year and a half of, you know, showing up every day and posting crap work on this blog, but eventually it turned into something, because what it did go to is features from Cosmopolitan, Business Insider, Design Milk, and just like all these different accounts featuring the blog. And I was humbled. I was like, oh wow, this is really cool. But I'm not sure I'm deserving of it. So what happened was I was getting a lot of emails and a lot of requests and DMs. Hey, how do you do this? Do you teach? Do you? And I was like, no, I don't. I'm still learning. So right. I was flattering, but I also needed to put myself in my place and say, like, you're not ready for this, you know, what people are requesting. So from there, I made it my goal to learn how to teach. So I was picking up different instruments. I knew at the time that the harder tip brush pens were easier to learn with because there's less flex. So right. There's more resistance between pen and paper, which we're used to every day. If we write with pen and paper, there's no flex on a pen or a pencil, so right. It's easier, which made sense. I started seeing people use markers, broadline markers, you know, Crayolas and Up and Ups. And so Crayligraphy is not specific to Crayolas. I just want to point that out.
Right.
It's anything with that bullet
shape, head shape. Yeah. Shape tip.
Mm-hmm. And I picked one up one day. I was like, this is kind of cool. It's kind of difficult to learn coming from a brush pen. But I like it. You know, I think this would be kind of a cool way to help people learn the craft. And so there came about calligraphy. I announced it. I've started posting more work with marker calligraphy and lettering. And people this was now Instagram days, and people were asking the same questions, you know, in the feeds. And one day I was just like, you know what, this is it. I'm going to call it calligraphy and go from there. It was originally called Crayoligraphy.
Yeah. You can go to the episode and hear the struggles.
Oh man, it's not even like I'm allowed to talk about it now. But,
is it worth it?
I'm choosing to just wait it out a little bit longer. Long story short, you know, I'm not going to do that. If you want to learn. If you want to learn all about that, keep in touch. Yeah, because it'll get too in depth and
right.
We don't have time for that.
Facts. So, yeah. All right. So, someone wants to start doing workshops. What's the first thing that you would recommend they doing?
You know what? I need to have a workshop on how to do workshops, because I'm telling you, there's a lot that goes into it. First and foremost, make sure you have the interest. You know, I mean, you probably know, hey, I want that lettering on a t-shirt. And then lo and behold, you have the t-shirt and they crickets, you know, yeah, no one. I'm not saying you personally, but I'm just saying.
You're right. I'm there with you.
Yeah. I mean, it happens to all of us. You have to make sure that you have the interest within that city, the audience. Right. We have forms on calligraphy.com where people fill them out requesting a specific city. So, you know, we have folders within our email platform, and each city has one, two, right. You know.
So that's how you kind of gauge if it's even worth it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And like analytics will show you like where there's most interest coming from, who's, you know, with the audience on your website. So make sure there's interest first and foremost, for sure.
Right.
Secondly, find a place. If you know you have interest, find a venue. Make sure you, there's so much that goes into it. I mean, packing for these workshops, but let's just say
you're doing it in your own in your own city.
Hypothetically, you're doing this within your own city. Interest, venue, marketing, and with the third one, marketing, it's you want to be careful, you know, not to be too spammy, not to like say, I need you here, because if I if I don't have you here, then I have to tell these other three that signed up that we can't make it, you know?
Right.
It's not a good feeling. Mm-hmm. And I've tried it all. I've tried the Facebook ads, the Instagram ads. When it comes down to it, that stuff doesn't work that well for this. You know, you have to build trust. You have mm-hmm. to, and if that means going and doing a free workshop, you know, seeing if there's interest, and then getting, and making sure you know what you're doing, know how to teach, you know the material. I mean, that all plays into it as well, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so just making sure there's interest, getting your marketing straight, not being spammy about it, doing a free workshop, getting the testimonials that you need to prove that people would be willing to pay you to teach them.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing to the next level to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.